Matthew 5 is the Sermon on the Mount. It's a beautiful time. Great sermon. Jesus is teaching. And 5:5 says, Blessed, I'll get spiritual here. Blessed are the gentle. Oh, there's no slides. You're going to have to go old school. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. You've heard of that, right? You've heard it maybe a couple of different ways. Listen to Eugene Peterson's paraphrase that he wrote. That just listen. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. No more and no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. Our significance here at Lyft is not based on our size. Our significance here at Lyft, this house, is based on our surrender. We met with the building this week. Our new owners have found out more about the relationship, the symbiotic relationship they want to have with us and in use of the space. And we're going to walk through that and see how it goes. Scott comes and has a word of accelerate. That's a good word for us because that's where we're at. I have a sense we have a move in our future. And we said once before, or multiple times actually, that when we move, we'll move because we want to or get to, or because we need to, not because we have to. And I believe that's still a word for us, but it's going to take some surrender. It's going to take more surrender, I believe, than where we're at right now. I want to read just a couple of things. Oh, Lord, help me here. Help me. Looking at all the stuff I'm skipping over. Sam had a word last week in our service, and I had this, was ready to go with it. Actually, it was 2 weeks ago. I was ready to go with it 2 weeks ago, and it didn't get to happen. And so I'm going to make sure I release this one, this part today. In Matthew 15, verses 21 through 28, it's the heading in the New American Standard is the Syrophoenician woman. And it says in verse 21, of Matthew 15. Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." This is a Gentile woman. This is a woman totally out of the realm of who Jesus was going after. And typically one that wouldn't have anything to do with Jesus anyway. Funny how an immediate need can change things, right? When you get that diagnosis, when you get that phone call, all of a sudden, I'm open to some prayer. The thing is, well, there's just not anything else to do now but pray. You know what? Prayer is powerful. If it's the last resort prayer, even that can be powerful. This is a house of prayer right here. This place is. So here she is. She's crying out. She's calling him Lord, Son of David. So she knows. She knows who he is. She has an insight, whether God gave it to her or whether she's learned from others. I don't know. But she's a person out of the path. She is not in the group. She's not in the clique. She's not part of the target. And she says, "Have mercy on me, Lord." Verse 23, but he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and implored him, saying, send her away, because she keeps shouting at us. Well, why? But he answered and said, Jesus said this, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He knew his mission. Remember he said, I always say and do what I hear. I see my father say. He had his mission. I just that right there takes me back to when at the wedding, first miracle, when they were asking him to do something. They were running out of wine. And he says, hey, it's not my time. And they went to his mom. His mom said, do whatever he says. Walked away. Mom, mamas have a way, don't they? What was in Jesus' heart and mind at that time? I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. Okay, she's already called him Lord. This is the second time she's called him Lord. She's not part of the people who would do that. Now she's bowing before him. There's a desperation in her soul. Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. He just called her a dog. And that word there for dogs, not just like wild dog or dog, that word there is, it implies like a house dog, like a domesticated dog, like one that you would love. Anybody feed their dog scraps? Who does that? Raise your hand if you're eating and you reach down your dog's dinner and you throw a little something to him. Shame on you. I do it too. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, Lord. Third Lord. But even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus said to her, oh, woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. I want to talk about a moment in time and a place where we are. A place, we talked about it for the last couple of weeks, about a memorial stone. That we were at a place in the life of this church, of 5 years old, a memorial stone, where we're placing a memorial stone to remember what God has done, all that he has done, and what he's going to do next. We're at a place in the life of this body where God's looking for persistence. He's looking for us to take his word and not back off of what he has said. He has brought us to this place to where now we're slightly comfortable. We've made an easy place to attend. Wasn't that easy at first? Nobody knew anybody. Didn't have family, didn't have the kind of atmosphere. We've always had a very welcoming atmosphere. God has brought us to a place right now where he is looking for us to knock and knock and knock and knock and knock on his door, because he said if we would knock, he will open it and come in. I was going to name this Knock Knock, but that sounded like a joke. Knock and knock and knock and be persistent. This was a persistent Gentile woman who had no relationship with the Jews, who had no relationship with Jesus, but she was knocking and knocking until she received what she was asking for. You know why? He said, oh, woman, your faith is great. Let's talk about faith. Let's talk about faith for a minute. I like how the Bible doesn't really define everything that we believe, except it does define faith. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But other than that, Pretty much so. God defines faith beyond that by showing us faith in people throughout the Bible, throughout the Word. And he's still showing you faith in people that are around you today. I like how everything's not explained. Some of it's just lived out. But without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible says. If you can see it, it might not be faith. By faith, we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That's a faith statement. I wasn't there when that happened. But that tells me that if the world was framed by his Word at the beginning, it's still framed by him now. He's still in charge. And I'm glad. I'm glad that gravity still works so we're not floating out into space. My grandson sees that commercial. There's some commercial for Apple, I think it is, where the guy's walking down the sidewalk and he's bouncing like it's a trampoline. And he's bouncing and he's doing flips and stuff. He says, oh, I wish I could do that. I said, you might be able to in heaven. Who knows? But we have gravity here. I'm going to just jump off this building. I think I can fly. I heard a song that says, I believe I can fly. Go ahead. You're going to hit the ground. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for as many as are the promises of God in him, they are yes. That, boy, that is the linchpin of that verse. We say a lot, all the promises of God are yes and amen. No, in him, they are yes. Therefore, also through him is our amen. To the glory of God through us. So here's what I want to talk about. We're at a place God is asking for us to have great faith. What great faith was there here in this story? Well, it wasn't the disciples, because in a few more verses, in verses 33, starting verses 33 of that chapter, actually it's in another book. But you remember when Jesus fed the 5,000 from a couple loaves, bread, a little bit of fish and stuff. Remember when he walked on water? Remember when he cast out the demon out of the guy out in the middle of nowhere that was chained and they had him out because they were afraid of him? You remember when he did all these crazy things and all of a sudden they came up upon another group of people and they needed food and Jesus said, let's feed them. And they said, oh, what should we do? I don't know. So they had a little faith, right? How about the scribes and Pharisees? They had no faith. They were faithless. And here we have a Gentile woman, much like the Magi that came, who had faith to find the Son of God. Much like the centurion that came to Jesus and said, hey, would you pray for so-and-so? And he said, well, come on, let's go. And he said, no, I'm a man under authority as well. And I say go to one, and they go. I say come, and they come. And so I understand authority. You say the word, and it'll be done. And Jesus said, your faith is great. I marvel at your faith. And healing came right that moment. I don't know, but it seems like we may need to get out of our church mode and get into our faith mode and get into our knock, knock, knock mode and get into being who we were called to be. Because the moment is here, in my opinion, for us to be who God's called us to be. Or not be who God's called us to be. I want to talk about a subject that you talk about every day. Every day, this subject comes up. But if I talk about it here, everyone freaks out. But you talk about it every day. It affects everything you do in your life. You know what that subject is? Money. We're grateful for the generosity of this church. But I'm telling you, to go where God has called us to be and to do what God has called us to do and to step into the image of destiny that he has for each one of us, you can't be struggling all the time with your money. It's not fruitful, and it breaks my heart that so many of you are living on the edge. All the time. I want you to live with margin. I want you to live with margin and a mission to do what God has called you to do. I'm not asking for your money today. I'm asking you to use your great faith and to knock, 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 knock on God and say, are you the provider, the provision of my vision, the vision you've given me? Do you own a cattle on a thousand hills, like it says in the Bible? Are you my source, not my job? I'm asking you to knock, 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 and quit doing this. I love you, Lord. I give you everything I have. Everything I have. Because you got a stronghold that needs to be broken. When we have a guest speaker come in, flies from California to here, spends the weekend, ministers to the staff on Saturday night, the leadership team comes and does a Sunday morning and a Sunday night, and I ask, we don't push money a lot here, I ask, let's bless him, and five people respond. And I was one of them. We have a surrender issue in this house. And I'm calling you out. I'm calling you up. And I'm asking you to knock, 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 knock on God. If you don't know how to handle your money, let's help you. I didn't know how. I'm still learning to handle my money. But I want you to know, the love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. It's not money. There's no problem with money. And I'm telling you, God is getting ready to launch us. And we're not going to be able to handle it if we can't get a hold of our personal finances. It's just not going to happen. I don't understand how somehow you've deceived yourself into thinking it's okay to attend here for years and years and years and never give a dime to the place. It's not a matter of us wanting your money. It's a matter of you being free from what the enemy is trying to strangle you with. Oh my gosh, we talk about chains being broken. We talk about shame going away. And yet you walk out of here and you're chained up in fear of whether you're going to be able to pay your bill or not. Paid a bill for somebody this week. No condemnation there. They said, you know, I haven't been tithing. I used to tithe, but I just haven't been able to. This and that and what have you. And I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I said, you know what you do? Let me tell you what you do. You start today and just make a change today. You don't got to go make anything up. That's the devil. That's the devil putting a weight on you. You say, today, I'm going to give some importance to what God is doing in my life. Now, there's things you can do financial peace. You can do all kinds of things. There's things out there. We may do another financial peace here because it's good. It helped Kelly and I. We had to go through it twice before we understood it, actually, before we did it. No, first time we just didn't do it. But listen, folks, I am not trying to just get on to you. I'm telling you, we're at a point that needs some all in. You know, I'm in. I'm in, Lord. No more excuses. You spend your life making money. That's how you get money. You spend your time. He's worthy of some of your time. How do you know that, Pastor Ray? Because I went and looked to see what happened with our guest speaker. That was just a start. God was already speaking to me. He was speaking to me personally about my own giving. You know, and I said, God, is it because I don't teach on it? I don't have to teach on it. You know in your heart. Because the devil's condemning you. He brings condemnation to you. I'm not bringing condemnation. I'm trying to bring conviction. That are you in or are you out? And if you're in, then get in. Guys, it is your life. Your money represents your life. Are you in or are you not? Or are you just going to do the scraps to the dog? But even Jesus marveled to that. I'm asking you to start where you're at. Get help. You need help? Get help. We'll get you help. There's people that can help you with your finances. There's people around you that can help. I'm not trying to condemn anybody here. You guys are so generous. Gosh, I can't go and have you guys drowning any longer. It's time for breakthrough. But that breakthrough comes from you taking a step. You've got to take a step. You've got to step into Jesus on this subject. Isaiah. See, I told you I couldn't do it 10 minutes. Someone go tell the kids. If you need to go get your kids, go get them. Go tell the workers. I've got one more thing I've got to share. Thank you. Isaiah 43:15-21. Write it down. I'm not going to go through all of it. It says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the creator of Israel, your king. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse and the army and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again. They have been quenched and extinguished like a wick. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now I will spring forth. Don't hold on to the past. Your significance does not lie behind you. It lies before you, folks. Your significance doesn't lie behind you. It lies before you. What today am I going to do to be significant? Couple of points. Now it will spring forth. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Think of roadways of going to God. Roadways leading us to God. Think of rivers, his provision coming down. Remember the story with Ezekiel, and he had the vision. God took him up to a vision, and he saw water coming out from the door of the temple, and it was just inches deep, and then it was feet deep, then it was to the knees and up to his chest, and then it was so deep that he couldn't swim. That's the anointing. God wants to bring us to a place to where we relinquish our control of what we can put our feet on, because we're already in his hands, and we're in his control to move us whichever way we want. But Micah talks about the house of the Lord, and that people are streaming to him. So we're streaming out into his control, but people, God is wanting to stream people into him. God has given Kelly a vision that she shared with me, and it bore witness, because I've had a dream about it, that we'll have a time where we're just doing this. Yes, come right this way. Right this way. Right in here. He's here. He is here. Just ushering people in. Come on in. Come into his presence. And I don't think it's here. Okay, I saw a stadium-looking thing. I don't know, okay? This is not about church or Lift Church or our facilities. This is about a move of God, and he's looking for people who are going to knock, 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 and get free from things that are holding you back, and one of them is money. It's true. Lack. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters to the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. Let me say that again. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. Here's the point. Thus says the Lord, who makes the way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters. He's saying, I've done it before. I've done it before. He led people through the Red Sea. We know that. We know when he led them through water another time. He led them out of captivity in Babylon. He's done it before. I've done it before. You know what else he's saying? I'm going to do a new thing. He's saying, I'm going to do it again. I want to do it again. I wish the Holy Spirit would fall like it used to. No, he wants to do a new thing. And he wants to do it again. And he's looking for people who are ready for it. So that if we're not ready, he knows what we'll do. We'll mess it up if we're not surrendered completely. Devil doesn't have any holds on us. We're sold out. I'm all in. And then he can't jack us around. How many moves of God have been jacked around by people? It is prostituted, turned into something that's not. I submit they're not fully surrendered to the will of God. Now it will spring forth. When does he want to do this? Now. When would he like to see some change in us? Now. When is he prepared to make that happen? Now. Now. Then he says, will you not be aware of it? Do you not understand? I will do it. You won't do it. I will do it. Do you not understand? Do you hear me? I just like every time I come and I'm just crying. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I did that. I'm just so sorry. And he's just like so, oh, I so love you. I just love you. He's not moved by my tears at all. It's not a tear thing. It's a surrender thing. You're going to blow it. You are going to blow it today. Somebody's going to blow something today. You're going to blow it. You're going to spout off. You're going to have an impure thought. Whatever. Surrender it to him. Say, oh, hey, I'm sorry, God. Say, whoa, hey, I'm surrendering that. Take that. Take it back, Lord. He tells us what he's going to do. New roads and new rivers. New roads and new rivers. New paths to him. New ways, new direction, new destiny, new revelation of destiny, and new rivers of provision to make that happen. But what are you going to do if you're strangled over here? Are you going to be wise? He's faithful in a little, be faithful in much. Faithfulness. Faith. All in. I'm asking for all in. You want your homework for this week? I'm asking you to pray about being all in. Take your bills, send them over and say, Lord, you're going to have to help me take care of that. Take your things, Lord. It's yours. I'm all in. Whatever it takes. Some of you may not come back because I talked about this today. That's okay. Because I'm telling you, we're at a moment in time to place that stone. That stone that says faithfulness. That stone that says, I am not in a stranglehold any longer. Bills didn't go away. They didn't get paid. All my debt, my problem. You got to let God have a shot at it, and you're hanging on to it. And he's like, how's that working out for you? I'm inviting you to an all-in situation. Move from just enough to everything I need is in you, God. Let's pray. Well, Lord, that didn't go like I thought. But I said it. I'm asking for your softness to the hardness of that word, because it's for me. It's for everybody in this room who struggles. And we all do at some level. We all do. And we thank you for grace. You love us. You have grace for us. There's mercy in this room, ladies and gentlemen, right now. There's mercy in here. Just receive his mercy. He is showering us all with mercy and saying, I'm more than enough. I love you so much. You truly can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You really, really can. I have mercy for you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we receive your mercy. And we thank you, Lord, that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. And with this, everybody in this room, that we are thwarting the enemy's plans. No weapon formed against us can prosper. Doesn't mean he didn't form those weapons, but we are binding them and we're declaring it done and over and things finished. And changed in Jesus' name, because you've changed my heart and my mind today. If you agree with that, say amen.